news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8.07. Most of any rain we have this morning is kind of coastal in nature, and not too much out there, but I say that some of you might be getting rained on pretty good, Orange Beach maybe, Pensacola, in spots anyway. But a lot of clear skies this morning, and it's going to be pretty hot, and that humidity has not gone away.
Yeah, it hasn't. And today, now, not just a federal holiday, but also a state holiday. It is Juneteenth.
Yeah, are we getting any reaction on the text line about that?
You asked who's off. Cheesewagon texted, said he's off. Joel, he says, let's shut the whole country down for June 19th. Yippee, hooray. So while you might think Joel's being sarcastic there, I'm going to choose to believe he's actually excited.
He's excited?
Yeah.
So. Probably at a Juneteenth day event in Summerdale?
Could be. Very well could be.
I don't think they have one there.
This texter says, shouldn't we have this day on the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation? My company is closed, but I'm working with clients who are not closed. So today, you know, Juneteenth represents the day where slaves in Galveston, Texas, were finally told 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation that they were free. They also call today Emancipation Day. It's June 19th every year. And the reason, Texter, I think they went with using that date rather than the date that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed is because, well, to those slaves in Galveston, they didn't realize for another 2.5 years that they were free. So that marks, I guess, the official end to slavery. And that is today. And if you remember, the state legislature this year voted and officially made it a state holiday, joining the feds. So you might notice some banks may be closed today, the Postal Service not delivering. So there might be certain things that maybe you planned on getting done today that you won't be able to. Just heads up on that.
It might sneak up on you.
Might sneak up
on
you.
It's not
like
the 4th of July.
I knew that Mobile wasn't picking up garbage today, and Thursday is a day for my block. But who was the idiot rolling out 2 garbage cans last night? That was me.
Well,
it was a garage clean out weekend, so I really filled them up. It's going to be a task waiting until Saturday for them to come by and get the oil.
Saturday's the day?
That Saturday's
okay.
The day.
Okay.
Michael texting, Israel is saying they can't hurt the Fordo reactor because only America has the ability to destroy it. It looks like Israel just started a fight they can't finish to me. Most Americans don't want to be involved with this nonsense, nor do we trust Israel is acting upon an honest assessment of imminent danger. This looks, smells, and sounds like Israel's newest version of Iraqi WMDs. I was also reading, so the general sentiment has been that, so the U.S. owns these bunker buster bombs and has resisted to this point to selling them to Israel, who've been asking for them, but it's been believed that only B-2 stealth bombers were capable of dropping that bomb. But now they're saying the B-2 stealth, it can hold the bomb, but also they were thinking it would be a necessity because they figured that Iran would be putting up more of a fight in their skies than they are, and that you would need something more stealth,
yeah,
like the B-2, who may have a little better odds of getting away safely. But since Iran apparently has control of the skies, or like Trump said the other day, we have control of the skies.
Talking about Israel rather than Iran.
Since Israel has control of the skies.
The skies over Iran?
Over Iran. Yeah. They're saying that might be able to load it up in a C-130, which Israel has, and have them drop it with that. It would be more dangerous into incoming rocket fire or if Iran's able to get any air assets up there. But it is a possibility, they're saying now. So we could sell the bombs to Iran or to Israel and have them do it. James texting in a few texts this morning said Trump insults the Fed and what? He expected him to work with him. Well, the Fed needs to realize that it's not about Trump, even though Trump keeps coming after Powell and the rest of the Fed. It's about America and the health of the American economy. If the Fed chair is resisting an act that would improve his country because of a personal beef, that's a problem. And Trump, you know, he made it clear in that audio we had, he's doing his best to incite PayPal into lowering those costs, but it's working the other way for Trump right now. He also said, have you noticed podcasters like Candace Owens, Joe Rogan, along with multiple others, calling out this BS war? We have no business over there. No American should be sacrificed for a war. And then in all caps, James says, that will never end. And you know, James, Candace Owens, now she used to be more of a kind of tried and true conservative, not too far outside of the what's considered acceptable, even in conservative circles. She has gone into more of an independent but independent right political sphere,
yeah,
and has really latched on to not, if you look at it from the outside, you think it's all just insane conspiracy theories that she's latched mm-hmm. onto, but she's certainly in the never-ending wars camp, and she feels like a lot of these different cases, like the Weinstein case, like there's something else going on there, and that he's and others are being taken advantage of. So her thoughts on things like Weinstein,
yeah, out of the box,
have knocked her kind of out of the mainstream.
But she still's got. She still has a ton of
Followers.
Massive followers.
A massive following, and so.
So she's not yet. Yeah, she's not brought into the conversation by the others that are more mainstream. But on her own, she's doing very well yeah, still.
And she is very much against us getting into this with Iran. So is Rogan, who one of the biggest reasons he was and became Team Trump was because of his anti-war stance. Yeah. And you could say that about so many people who you wouldn't have considered traditionally conservative, but have massive followings and who ended up being in Team Trump. Now they're seeing the possibility of us going to war. And many MAGA voters who have liked Trump's theme of not starting any new wars, big reason they voted for him. So a lot hinges on his decision here and also the results of whatever he decides. If he decides to go ahead and drop the bombs and we're able to do that without getting into any kind of extended fight with Iran, that's still a win. But just have to see how it plays out. But, yeah, certainly the podcasters, they are against, for the most part, him getting into this. But then you have your Shapiros, your Ben Shapiros. And
sure, who is Jewish-American and is very, very pro-Israel, mm-hmm. for sure. I mean, it's pro-Israel as you're going to find out there.
And your more traditional conservative radio talk show host. Mm-hmm. Look at your Eric Erickson's. Mm-hmm. Mark Levin is almost making, I think, a fool of himself how hard he's like personally trying to get the president to get into this war. So there is a split in the generations here.
But if Trump chooses the solution of the bunker buster, and I guess they'll have to be, it's not a one and done thing, okay? It's not, that's what I've read. It's not like we drop it once, it's done the job.
No, there's going to have to be an entire attack plan. And they're right. saying maybe you drop a bunker buster and then some other big bombs in there and then another bunker buster and then some other big bombs.
Yeah.
It's right. a lot. Like, and it's very, very deep into that mountain.
So if you were to do that and say that campaign takes, I don't know, a week, 10 days, I don't know what it would take, what would the country's appetite be for watching that happen? But at the same time, understanding, look, there are no boots, and I'm just proposing this. I'm not saying this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no boots on the ground, and there are simply pilots over the sky, you know, over the nukes. And if you're able to eradicate Iran's nuclear stash, in 10 days or so, without anybody being injured or without any loss of life, or if it's done in an efficient, safe for our military's way, wouldn't that be an acceptable, mm-hmm. certainly be an acceptable outcome? I'm just asking.
I think it would be an acceptable outcome, but there's a lot of ifs in that.
Yeah.
And after getting into the war in Iraq and then, you know, just staying in the Middle East for the last 20 years, I don't know if it is politically the right move. Now, they have polls coming out, and who knows why or how these polls are slanted or if they really are. And it says most Americans are okay with the U.S. attacking Iran. Specifically, most Republicans are okay with it. But things can easily go wrong, and we could easily end up in an extended Middle Eastern war. Mm. And you don't know, you know, have the nuclear materials, is it possible they've been moved, many of them? Are they able to keep some form of their program intact so that they it doesn't take them as long to rebuild to where they are, but they have that ability? And also, we still don't know and maybe somebody has complete certainty, but still don't know whether the bunker buster bomb plan will work. Right?
And a couple of things about the bunker buster bomb and the nukes and the map of where things are. To this point, it would be hard to question Israel's intelligence. They've got the intelligence.
I don't think you can question their intelligence, but you can question what they put out there for the media.
Okay. But the whole plan from Thursday through the weekend was incredibly executed, thought out, done. You have scientists, head scientists that are gone. You have head military that are gone. You've got diplomacy, even in my story, it said that diplomacy not easy right now for a regime that has been so hampered by all the heads of being killed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have just kind of chaos over there. So I would doubt that in the midst of all of this, could they try and even move some of that stuff? I don't know.
Well, they've been able to fire off a lot of missiles into Israel during all this. They've been able to keep fighting in some semblance.
So. Yeah, they have. They have.
I'm sure they had backup plan after backup plan for if anything like this happened. But I guess my main point is, while it seems like this is the best time, there's still a lot in the air. And we've seen presidents make decisions where it seems clear-cut and easy, and it turns into you just end up getting mucked down into another fight and a whole another group of people that hate you more than they did prior, which it seems impossible for a lot of the Iranians. But I'm sure if we spent another 10, 15 years over there, it would probably end up being more similar to what we saw play out in Afghanistan and Iraq.
And there is also a percentage of Iranians who, I guess they can't shout it out loud, business people who, maybe would prosper even more if the country was lifted out of that regime, that actually many of them were educated in America.
Yeah.
They like America. There is that faction. I don't know how big it is. I read 30-40%. That seems pretty high to me. But in any event, there's a lot going on for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The decision is definitely on Trump. He doesn't seem to be shying away from it all. And even to have that press conference last night at the White House is pretty transparent. Mm-hmm. He's just inviting the press in and saying, I just got to think about this. I'll know when I know. And I'd rather draw the conclusion a minute before it happens and then do it.
Yeah, very transparent.
I don't know that those were comforting words necessarily. But
they were transparent.
They were transparent.
Ken says, I just rushed my trash can to the road thinking I was lucky I didn't miss the truck, but now you're telling me they're not coming. Yeah, at least Mobile and Pritchard garbage not being picked up today. A texter here, good morning. Can Cooper be impeached? $9 million would pay for a lot of small projects. Thanks. Are you talking about ALDOT director? Or which Cooper are we talking about here? 251-343-0106. Why couldn't we just sell the bunker buster to Israel and let them drop it? We talked about that some. There's been an issue over which planes are capable of dropping it safely. Maybe we could if they used the C-130.
It's kind of amusing to me a little bit that we exhausted about 14 minutes talking about the ups and downs, the ins and outs of a possible nuclear crisis. No, it is a nuclear crisis in the Middle East. And on the text line, the guy wanted to know if he should take his garbage out.
That's really what it comes down to.
Was he listening to us at all? also, Congresswoman Omar saying something pretty, I think, that a lot of our listeners will find interesting.
Hmm.
She's done it before.
Ah. Okay. I wonder what that was.
Well, that's on the way. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. We'll also talk with Rob Hobel from Lanyap Mobile on Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Dan and Dalton. This comes on. All I can think about is Will Ferrell sitting in a tub singing this song on that commercial or wherever he's singing this song. One of them he's in a bathtub.
It had a life before that commercial. This song did.
It did. It was a great song from Fleetwood Mac back in the 80s. I think it was on a TV show or movie, too. It's kind of bumped its popularity back up. I don't think, you can have opinions about the United States of America, but maybe if you were a migrant and you came here and you kind of should kiss the ground a little bit and have a certain understanding.
Respect.
A little respect, right? Don't necessarily get that from Democrat Ilhan Omar. Is it Ilhan? Ilhan.
Or so, Elon. Elon Omar.
That'll be fine. We'll do that. She was on, first of all, she was on this podcast on YouTube, Democracy Now! I do recommend you check out that podcast. It looks like the worst Saturday Night Live skit ever, but it's real. And she was just talking about the last few weeks in the United States and what's gone on with the LA riots and all this kind of stuff and the way she frames everything. But in the end, she gets down to saying her characterization of the United States would be
to have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world to now be turned into one of the worst countries where the military are in our streets.
The United States is now one of the worst countries.
She sounds like she's with the UN, not a member of Congress.
It's so partisan and so one-sided, and just the same with Newsom out in California suing Trump and everything like that. And like I said, Trump saved his butt by putting people, the National Guard, and the Marines was another thing, but they were never. It's just so politics, and so there's no telling what could have happened in L.A. if he hadn't done that.
Well, remember, it's political, sure, but she is representing the voices of her district.
Well,
her district clearly feels the same way because they're going to keep electing her even with statements like that.
I think there's a lot of immigrants in that district. Mm-hmm. So she is
a lot of Somalis.
Yeah, she's a representative of that district, and I don't know at what point many Somalians ended up going to a place like Minnesota, but it happened, and that's fine. But it's just so disrespectful of her, who somebody said she married her brother, so she could.
Well, that's been
something like a rumor.
That's been a rumor. It may be more than a rumor.
Yeah,
I've been down that rabbit hole before.
Larry, get him in, I guess.
Larry in Atmore, why didn't Israel drop bombs into the access entries to that facility to make it impossible to enter? Well, Larry, they want to completely clear out the nuclear program. They don't want to just make it harder to get to. They want to get down there and get it all. And so maybe a special ops. I think even if we do the bunker busters and everything, they'll still spend some special forces in from Israel to really get in there. And I imagine they would be waiting for a firefight if they don't drop some bombs on there too.
No kidding.
Chris says there's a very good possibility Iran is farther into the nuclear completion than what's being told. And by bombing this plant could set off an accidental nuclear reaction, which would be bad for the globe. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we would have to think about.
Michael says, I'd agree Israel's intelligence network is on top of it. I just doubt they're honest, and I think they'll twist anything to fit their desires. Texter here, the people running Iran were put there by the U.S. government, a.k.a. Jimmy Carter. That's from Ricky. And Texter here, know this about Iran. When the Shah was in office, the U.S. had a good relationship with Iran. As a matter of fact, Kiesler was a big training base for the Iranian Army and Air Force members. I was a police officer for Biloxi PD back then and recall pulling over an Iranian for DUI. He begged me not to put him in jail. He would most likely be deported back to Iran, and most likely executed for embarrassing the Iranian military and government. Mm. And yes, I let him go after he agreed to park his car in a gas station parking lot and throw his keys onto the roof, let him walk back to the base.
Wow.
What a story there. Thank you.
What a story. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, and we're also going to have Rob Holbert from Lagniap Mobile on the show in about 4 minutes from right now. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 834. Mobile mornings. Kind of a pleasant morning so far anyway.
It is.
You know, that irritating rain that keeps falling every day, it seems like. Rob Holbert with Lagniap Mobile joins us on the line right now. Rob, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing good.
Hey, we're doing well. And great new issue of Lagniap on stands now. And stories being updated on the website every day. So we'll get to this later in the interview, but I encourage you to go ahead and subscribe to lagniapmobile.com. If you did, you would have picked up the story many hats. Congressman, or I should say former Congressman Bradley Byrne's dual role as chamber leader and lobbyist collide again. And a lot of work put into this from Scott Johnson and Lanyap. Talk about this story some, Rob.
Well, you know, when Byrne became the CEO and president of the chamber back in 22, they allowed him at that point to remain part of Adamson Reese's lobbying team, which was something everybody, you know, a lot of folks looked at and said, well, that's kind of strange. You know, you don't usually do that. And it, you know, there's obviously opportunity for conflicts. And it's come up a few times. It came up with the Amtrak last year. It came up with this issue over the thin layer placement and Baykeeper threatening a lawsuit in the, about Bay. And, you know, Adamson Reese represents the Port Authority, and Byrne was very stridently against Baykeeper in that case, and it came up there. But in those cases, they all said, "Oh, well, he's not the lobbyist for them. You know, he's not directly their lobbyist." What happened recently is that there's a lawsuit, and I don't want to get lost in the weeds here. Basically, a beach replenishment issue on Dauphin Island. The Property Owners Association voted for it. There's some people that are suing who are property owners who say, hey, we're going to get blocked out. We're going to get landlocked by this. Basically, the beach area will become public, and we were supposed to own this beach. Apparently, the chamber 70 years ago or whatever was involved in deeding this stuff over. And Byrne wrote a correction deed and said, no, those people, that's not what they meant back then 70 years ago. They meant this. And so the correction deed actually sides with the town of Dauphin Island, which has gotten involved in this lawsuit. And lo and behold, Byrne is a lobbyist for the town of Dauphin Island. And the correction deed was actually prepared by Adams and Reese. So, you know, people are, the lawyers for the other side are saying, well, this is really convenient for a guy that's the lobbyist for the town to come in and say, hey, you know, the town's right, and he's somehow divining the intent of the Chamber of Commerce from 70 years ago, and it just happens to go with what they need. So, you know, that's an issue in and of itself, but, you know, as we're reporting this, it really became a bigger issue to me personally, just as a reporter looking at this as a journalist. And, you know, we asked him, okay, you know, tell us about your lobbying for, you know, for the town of Dauphin Island. And his first response was, I've not been paid to, you know, conduct litigation in this case. And, you know, it's like, well, that's not the question we asked. You know, it's like you're giving an answer for a question that wasn't asked. Nobody said you were a lawyer in the case. They're asking about the lobby. Comes back and he says, I've never been a lobbyist for them, which is like, we're all kind of looking at it like, is this like a Jedi mind trick? Is this like, because there are federal documents for the last, you know, since 2022, quarterly documents that have been filed by Adams and Reese that list him as one of the three lobbyists for Dauphin Island. And, you know, these are filed in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. And so these are federal documents done by this big law firm. And it's quarterly, so there's a whole bunch of them, and they all have his name on it. And then, you know, we sent it to him, and he said, oh, this is an Adams and Reese document, and I still haven't lobbied for, I've never been paid to lobby for them. So, you know, there's no real explanation, and it's this kind of, you know, if there's an explanation, he ain't giving it. You know, he's not willing to talk about it. And that's the problem.
And there were people already uncomfortable with Byrne holding those dual roles early on. You said he's you used Jedi mind tricks, you said, here recently. But what were his responses back then when he was brought on as president and CEO of the chamber? And what's the chamber saying now?
Well, the chamber is, you know, everybody's kind of circling the wagons. The chamber claims they can't really talk about it because this correction deed might become part of this, you know, might be an issue in this lawsuit, which doesn't really make any sense either. You know, it's like, that's not the question we're asking either, is why is he lobbying? You know, does this, is this issue not a problem for the chamber? But, you know, it, yes, I mean, I've had people in the city and in other entities around here who involved with him who have, I mean, I know that when the whole thing with the port came up, there were questions. I mean, people, there were certainly folks in the port who were like, we didn't tell him to do that. You know, I don't know where, you know, there's definitely some uncomfortable activity and has, there's been some uncomfortableness with this role. And I don't think it's gotten any better. I think this is really, you know, the one thing that shows that it's really crossed the line. I don't know why. I mean, he lobbies for the South Baldwin Chamber of Commerce. He lobbies for several different cities. He lobbies for, you know, a variety of entities around here. So, which would, you know, they could brush up against chamber business. And it's really, I mean, it's just gotten to the point for me, I know, when I hear him talk, I don't know who he's talking for. You know, that to me, that's the main issue. You know, who's he representing?
I guess, you know, at the time in 2022, you had the resignation, and Bradley Byrne was available, and Bradley Byrne is considered a very skilled politician, and he was a former U.S. congressman, so he's got a lot of connections, and maybe that was why they didn't give him the ultimatum, you know, that you got to leave that firm to join the Chamber of Commerce. That's why the deal remained. That'd be my guess.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, they've kind of said they made their deal. I mean, you know, they got a guy that lives in Fairhope that is running the Mobile Chamber of Commerce who is lobbying for, you know, he's also a lobbyist. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, you know, it, to me, it's just there's a lot of straddling a whole lot of different things. And I don't know that that's really serving the chamber best. But this circumstance is really beyond just that. I mean, I think it's, you know, it really runs into the area of, you know, I just don't think it doesn't look ethical. Let me say that. Mm-hmm. I will just say it does not look ethical. And he has offered zero explanation that makes any sense.
One more question. It's the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce. And so
yeah.
Who does it affect? Is it working for the Mobile area, the city of Mobile? Is Dauphin Island included?
I mean, it's not the city of Mobile. It's the Mobile area. But, yeah. I mean, there's a Baldwin County Chamber. Commerce is a South Baldwin mm-hmm. Chamber. I mean, you know, I think it's primarily focused on
Mobile County.
This on Mobile County.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
You know, I mean, you know, again, it's not really that issue. It's really the matter of when something comes up and it comes up against somebody he's lobbying for, or even that his company is lobbying, that his law firm that he is part of is lobbying for. To me, that presents it presents at least the appearance of a conflict of interest. In this case, it is really hard to say there's not a conflict of interest. And, you know, just saying that form, he doesn't even say the form's wrong or anything like that. He just says, somebody else filed that. His name's on it as mm-hmm. one of the three lobbyists. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it is, you know, it just says that you are a lobbyist for the town of Dauphin Island, and they took his name off of that form for the first quarter of this year, and then he files this thing. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you can read into that whatever it is, and maybe that's just coincidence, maybe it's timing, I don't know, but it doesn't. It also looks strange.
Well, good work there from Scott Johnson. That story is definitely worth diving in if you get the chance. Also, two new names. Well, I say new names. Two new names in this cycle of the Mobile mayoral race. I was expecting more names to drop out, Rob, not to jump on, but yesterday it became, I guess, official. Marion T. Dias and Donovette Eli jumping into the race to become the mayor of Mobile, and they joined those who remain. Eli ran previously, I guess in 2021, but a question about Dias's, where Dias lives in the Brady Petrie article after voting in Foley in the 2024 election. So do these two have a chance to win here? Dan asked earlier.
I'm going to just say no. I'm going to say absolutely not. Look, man, there's just every time there's always kind of these perennial candidates,
run
politics and mm-hmm. they run and you know whatever it means it doesn't you know, it's always difficult to deal with those things because, you know, you want to treat people fairly, but I mean, it's just not really at this late juncture for one thing. You know, there's already candidates who've been in for months that look like they're floundering at this point. And, you know, two people who don't really have much name recognition, it's very unlikely.
Like MLB, let's look at the top of the standings rather than the bottom of the standings.
It just seems kind of, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it happens every time. You, you get people who run over and over and over again, and they don't really have much to offer.
Kind of like a hobby. Like a fun hobby.
Yeah.
Running for mayor.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I've had a lot of people in my office here tell me they're running for president of the United States over the years, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
but, you know,
then the next week they've taken up pickleball. So
folks get a little focused on things sometimes. I don't know.
What do you make of the race itself? Like the top end of the race where, you know, who's making a move, or can you even feel it? Can you sense it?
I mean, it's like we said before, when you look at, I mean, money's not everything, but when you look at who's getting the money, it's Share Goddess is lapping the field money-wise, the number of donations as well. It's just, he's way out in front in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of him and the rest of the pack, as far as I'm concerned, in that regard. That doesn't mean he's going to be mayor, and it doesn't mean he can't be beaten, but he does have a lot more money, but he also has far more donors, which at this point it's hard to say, you know, that sort of shows some level of mm-hmm. support if people are willing to give you money. So, and
he's got infrastructure too. He's got people.
Yeah, I mean,
like
just the number of donations are, yeah, you know, the number of donations are three times that of the next closest candidate, Connie Hudson.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
I mean, it's just a lot more.
And I'm not sure if you can buy the mayoral seat, you know, with donations, but can you buy a spot in the runoff? Because, I mean, what do you think? 99% chance this goes to a runoff, Rob? And really, because of that, I have no idea who the two will be.
I would be amazed if there's not a runoff. And, you know, as I've said before, I think just giving the voting dynamics in Mobile that, you know, the white voters tend to vote for white candidates and black voters tend to vote for black candidates. I would just, in mm-hmm. looking back at the past, I would imagine that it's probably going to be the top white candidate versus
right.
the top black candidate as it's been. I would just, that's, unless something drastically changes in the way people in Mobile vote, that would be my guess. But it would take a really low turnout, you know, or really high turnout on one end or versus the other. You know, it would take, because when you really start breaking it down, the numbers, you know, if there's two candidates or three candidates, I mean, I find it hard to believe that all the candidates are going to stay in the race.
Yeah,
some of them are just not anywhere, you know, near it.
At the top, it's what candidates can get their people out to vote. Their organization is tight enough where it's like a mandate, like you will go out and you will vote today for our candidate. Correct.
When I look back, the last time, I guess when Sam Jones ran the first time and there was a fairly large field, that first vote, there were somewhere around 50,000 people that voted in that, and it was pretty evenly split, racially.
Uh-huh.
And those, so roughly around 25,000-26,000 on each side of that. Mm-hmm. That has not been the case in recent years. The last couple times, last time I think there were about 25,000 people who voted, white voters, and about 17,000 black voters. But there also, I don't think, was very much enthusiasm. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you start running numbers, you say, okay, well, if there's, you know, if Lawrence Batiste, for instance, doesn't stay in the race, and you've got two candidates, you know, if you've got Barbara Drummond and Jermaine Burrell left, well, what's the worst that one of them could do? You know, somebody could get about 8,000 votes if the turnout's really bad. You know, it could get more than that if the turnout's good. So that's, and then you've got, you know, three or four candidates on the other side that it just splits the vote up more. I don't mm-hmm. know, especially if one of them dominates, you know, if one of them gets somewhere in the neighborhood of 35-40% of that vote, it gets difficult to see, that Connie or some of those others might have a chance, assuming it would be Spiro that is the front runner. Right. So, I mean, I think you've got to be the front runner on the particular sides, is what I'm saying.
Basically.
We do vote in sort of this dichotomous fashion.
And
maybe that'll change this time, but that's just the way it's been.
Yeah, you're just looking at history. Still so much up in the air, but time is seriously running out on that mayoral race. And the best place to follow it on the radio is FM Talk 106.5. But in the papers, it's Lagniappe and issue on stands now. Where can folks get them, and how can they sign up online?
You can pick them up at the purple boxes all over the area. And, of course, you can go to lagniappemobile.com, get signed up. It's only $9 a month. So it's $1 for the first month. You can try it out, and then it's just $9 a month after that. It's 30 cents a day. Mm-hmm. Lots of news.
Good deal. Thank you, all Rob, right. And thanks for taking time to converse with us this morning.
Have a great weekend.
We will do that.
All right, have a great one.
You got it.
Rob Holbert with Lagniappe, lagniappemobile.com. And coming up, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106, if you want to get a text in here on this last segment.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. 8:56 now, closing in on what would generally normally be the Jeff Force Show, and I guess it's still going to keep that moniker. Just have a fill-in host again today.
That's right. April Marie Fogel should be getting connected around now and getting ready for her time. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, guest hosting the Jeff Force Show, so you don't want to miss that. And I'm sure it'll be a good show on the way. I think Jeff is going to be back on tomorrow. So April Marie filling in for Jeff coming up. I've been kind of talking about it some throughout the show, but I really want to dive into the most important story of the morning, and that's the man running against Tuberville for governor falling off of a dirt bike in a campaign stunt.
Let's go for it.
I want to get to that. I did want to mention this too. General Mills. So yesterday we were talking about Kraft Heinz taking away the...
dyes?
The FD&C or whatever they call it. Yeah, FD&C artificial dyes.
Yeah.
And
Thank you, Kraft Heinz.
So Kraft Heinz doing that. And I think they said only about 10% of their products remaining had those dyes in them. I would just say it was probably the 10% that makes most of their money that they kept the dyes in. There's a reason they kept the dyes in those. It's because they kept selling that way. But now General Mills jumping on as well. And they said 85% of its U.S. retail portfolio is currently made without color additives, but they too, by the end of next year or end of 2027, will have completely transitioned to 100% no artificial dyes in their U.S. food products.
Kennedy's had an effect. I don't know exactly what he's done to them to straighten them out a little bit, but it's been more. He's not been a paper tiger.
Yeah, maybe a good talk tomorrow would be which plank of the MAGA movement is having the most success to this point.
He's having a lot of public success.
Is it the Make America Healthy Again portion of the party? Is it the anti-war portion? That'll be a good talker for tomorrow.
I've lost 7.5 pounds since Kennedy's been in, so I'm thinking that's... He's done it for me.
It's working. So Ken McFeeters, he's running for governor. He's a Republican, the only candidate running against Tuberville in the Republican side. And they put out a press release this week, his office did, said first casualty of the 2026 gubernatorial race, Ken McFeeters versus physics. They say he was filming a campaign ad and was planning to do a 100-yard wheelie on his dirt bike. Unfortunately, on the third attempt, just after whispering to himself, how hard can this be, McFeeters met gravity. The dirt bike shot forward. Ken did not. Sounds like he panic revved, where you keep the throttle down, but your legs and body stays behind. So they took him to UAB, and I guess he's going to do all right, but he ended up being injured. So not a great start to the...
And I guess if that was a stunt, they were recording it. I'm on YouTube right now.
Trying to find it.
Rooting around. Yeah. April Marie on the way.